You don't have to turn to this reference, but I'm going to use for a text. Revelation 3, verse 20. It's the message to the seventh church of Asia, Laodicea. There were seven churches. Scholars feel they represent attitudes from the time of Pentecost till the rapture. Any of these can be present at any one time. If so, then we are in the last part, which is Laodicean. And I hear so much that we can't have revival or that God doesn't move like He used to. We do well to hold on. I'm going to preach tonight that Laodicea can have revival. I'm going to prove it to you by one verse to the Laodicean church, chapter 3, verse 20 of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Laodicea can have revival. Chapter 3, verse 20, Revelation. If you know it or have it open, please read it with me one more time in unison. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Are you glad Jesus knocked on the door of your heart? Are you equally as happy that you answered the knock? He's trying to get into his own church here. I want to let Jesus in because he wants to sup with me. And I want to sup with him. I'm borrowing the title of an old favorite hymn for my sermon text tonight. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. I believe that. Do you believe prayer changes things? And you know it generally changes the one doing the praying. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Do you feel that would work here tonight in this Sunday night service? No matter what the problems in this service among people that are here, do you believe just a little talk with Jesus can make it all right? Let's raise our hands and invite His presence tonight. Would you do it? Praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. This statement is not posed in triteness or snappy slogans. To some, it is a sociological and psychological and a psychiatrical nightmare. We get accused of putting band-aids over cancers, panaceas, quick cure-alls, that problems are so deeply rooted that it will take years to work them out. I agree that there are situations you've got to let God work on, but I'm not going to back off. That right here, right tonight, a little talk with Jesus can make it all right. I don't care what the situation is. I believe with all of my heart, Jesus has the power to change things. We have to go to Him. We have to seek Him. He's been seeking for us. Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. Luke 9:56, and the former reference was Matthew 11:28-9. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And 5:32 of Luke, Jesus Christ said, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. John 12:47, I came not to judge the world but to save the world. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. John 5:40, and ye will not come to me that you might have life. John 10:10, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. John 20:31, and that believing you might have life through his name. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. In John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 21:5, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Isaiah 55:1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in flatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. And on and on and on and on. The Lord wants to talk to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I refuse to write America off as down the tubes. I refuse to write the city of Minden off as down the tubes. I refuse to write this church off as down the tubes. I'm here to tell you, Laodicea can have revival. God can deliver your friends and your family. I believe He can turn your life around. He can give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. There is deliverance. But you can't sit there with a zipped lip and a hushed mug, incognito, colder than the north side of a polar bear and drier than last year's bird's nest, like Elijah the wooden Indian and a zombie. I'm preaching to you tonight. For God's sake, if you want deliverance, tell Him about it. If you want the Holy Ghost, tell Him about it. If you want healing, tell Him about it.
If you want a blessing, tell him about it. If you need a job, if you need help in your marriage, if you need help in your children, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him.
Oh, God. If Scripture is right, and it is, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. 1 Samuel 12:23. The devout Muslim prays at least 3 times a day with his face towards Mecca. And even King David did as good. 55:17, Psalm, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And Daniel did the same. In fact, 65:2 of Psalm, David said, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now, you may not want to pray tonight. You may not think you need to pray. You may not want to repent. You may not want to seek God. But I'm going to tell you, there will come a time in your life when you will need to seek God. You will get down to where the rubber meets the road and the cow eats the cabbage. The end of the rope, there's no knot to hang on to. And you've tried doctors and you've tried friends and you've tried education and you've tried money and everything has failed you. And now you're going to have to get down to admit you should do now what you should have been doing before, and that's try peace. Jesus in Luke 18, verse 1, Matthew 26 and 40, Mark 11 and 25, taught about praying, that you wouldn't faint if you would, and couldn't you watch 1 hour, and to forgive when you prayed. And then in Acts 3, 1, the church had an hour of prayer. And 16 of the book of Acts, in verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And even 5:16 through 18 of James tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now I'm telling you, God still answers prayer. Don't put crepe on the doorknobs. Quit digging your grave. Quit preparing your obituary. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke your funeral attitude, your negative spirit. God is still on the throne. He's able to bring revival. He's able to heal. He's able to fill with the Holy Ghost. He's able to turn your life around. We've just got to talk to him about it. Talk to him about it. Hallelujah. So, 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears open to their prayers. 4 verse 7, be ye therefore sober and watch in the prayer. 12:12, Romans, continue instant in prayer. 4:2, Colossians, continue in prayer. 4:6 of Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If any decision is important enough that it affects your life, it's important enough to pray about. I feel to say that in the Holy Ghost one more time. Some of you didn't pray before you got overloaded in debt. You didn't pray before you married that certain one. You didn't pray before you took that certain job, moved off to Outer Mongolia or East Podunk and like to lost your soul. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, for God's sake, pray about it. Get down and ask God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. I think we ought to pray about our sermons. We ought to pray about our songs. We ought to pray about our music. We ought to pray about our revival. We ought to pray about anything we do. Jesus prayed all night in Luke 6:12 before he chose the 12 disciples. Oh, God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Jude verse 20 said, pray in the Holy Ghost. Just like shifting gears in a straight stick transmission, I know what I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm just like everybody else, according to Romans 8, 24, 25, 26, and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as you ought, but the Spirit is also maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You get down to pray and your mind's on your bills and your problems and this and that and the other, and it takes a while to get that stuff out of your brain. But when you finally settle down, and the Holy Spirit helps you pray, and you start shifting gears and praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I'm going to tell you there is no comparison to Holy Ghost praying. There's nothing like Holy Ghost preaching. Absolutely nothing like Holy Ghost singing. My God, give us Holy Ghost revival. Holy Ghost worship. Somewhere we got to get back to touching the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so what I'm trying to tell you is, just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. I don't know how God does what God does, but He can do the impossible, the improbable, the illogical, the irrational, the unseemly, the unlikely. Don't sit there and dry up and die. I don't know why. I kick up against depression spirits all over the country that I preach, but I've kicked up against it here more than normal. I'm not trying to be no super spiritual God, I just preach the Word. But I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, you don't have to live your life depressed. You don't have to live your life in dejection and defeat and demoralization. Tell that devil when he reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. You tell that devil you've been to the water and you've been baptized. You've got the Holy Ghost and you've got a right to worship and you've got a right to shout and you've got a right to clap your hands. And you've got a right to be happy. You've got a right to pray. You've got a right. You've got a right. You've got a right. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us. Hallelujah. Oh, God. One of the greatest heritages that anybody could have is a praying mother and a praying dad. I shall go to my grave with the prayers of my mother ringing in my ears. Coming home from school, the upstairs praying. Man, I'm talking about praying. Make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. Oh, God have mercy. Today, she's got Alzheimer's, 87, be 88 in September. For the last 10 years, has really not known any of us. I can't understand all that, but God does. Faithful as a pastor's wife through the depression, when they had to pray even for their meals, and for, as some of you know very well what I'm talking about, and yet she cannot communicate today, but there's a God that understands. Had the Holy Ghost 60 or more years. But here's my point. I'll never forget that. I don't care what happens. She prayed, and God answered. And if God can answer her, God can answer me. I'm here to tell you, you may seem to think there's no hope, but that's a lie. There is hope. But you've got to pray. You've got to pray. You can't just sit there. You've got to pray. We get on the telephone and we tell people our troubles. And I've done it and talked to friends. And there's nothing wrong with a certain measure of this counseling business. And I hope you don't get mad at me, but I think we get into it too deep sometimes. I think about 90% of it could be solved if we had a talk with Jesus. If we get on our knees and pour our heart out to God and say, God, you've got to help me. God, you've got the power. You've got the wisdom. I believe He can do something. If He can't, then let's close up shop. Let's make this an ice skating rink. Let's make a bingo parlor out of it and get it over with. We broadcast and advertise that God answers prayer. Well, let's believe it tonight. Hallelujah. Never will forget. I was wanting to preach, 18 years old, almost 18. Man, I was ready to go. World was dying, and I couldn't go. Swung on the porch all summer long, telling God I'm ready. No answer. And I never will forget my mama praying. And she come rushing down the steps and said, Son, the Lord spoke and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, it wasn't a week till I got an invitation. And there I went. I'm telling you, just a little talk with Jesus makes it all right. I remember as a kid, my older brothers was in the service, World War II. And they had names on the wall of all the servicemen from our local church in the war. And I remember those old sisters. Every service would call those names out. Now, I'm not making any reference here to unfortunate deaths of anybody. But every one of those came back home safe.
I'm just telling you, friend, a little talk with Jesus can make it all right. If we would just pray, if we would just seek His face, God's able to change your situation. God's able to give you some answers. God's able to give you some encouragement. He's able to put a blessing in your soul.
Well, I'm trying to reach people here tonight that need God. And I want you to know you don't need drugs and alcohol. You don't need to commit suicide. You don't need to give up and quit and let your eyes roll back in your head. You don't need to do that. I don't care what your situation is. My God's got the answer tonight. I know you may have a vexing, perplexing puzzle wrapped up in an enigma, and it seems that there is no answer. But don't sell God off so quick, friend. I've seen Him do the impossible. Hallelujah. I'm just here to tell you what the devil wants is what you're doing right now. Sitting there with your lips zipped and your mind on a Kmart Blue Light special and watching the clock with both eyes. And your mind's on tomorrow after church. That's just what the devil wants. For God's sake, if you'll just give the Word of God a few minutes tonight, if you'll give the Spirit of God just a few minutes tonight, forget tomorrow, it may never come. And if you'll pray, brother, pray, before the night's out, the answer could come. Before the service is over, the answer could come. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm going to preach tonight if I can from John chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. And I'm going to try to correlate this to a little talk with Jesus, makes it all right. And give you this biblical illustration that the Lord helped this situation that I'm going to preach about, and He can help your situation. But you've got to open your mouth. Now, I want you to be polite. I want you to be sophisticated. There's nothing wrong with cologne and perfume and dressing up nice and looking fit as a fiddle and all that. I'm not preaching against that, but for God's sake, if you're here tonight and need help, don't get trapped by your appearance and by those around you. This is your night. The devil is a liar. This is your night. Maybe you disagree with him, but you've been wrong before. This old junk that tonight's not your night to receive the Holy Ghost, that's a lie. I've never read where God is a sadist and puts you off and puts you off. When you get to the place you ought to be, God's already there. He will give you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Would you clap your hands tonight? I believe God can fill some people here with the Holy Ghost right during this preaching, right during the rest of this service. I believe He can get some answers to some problems right while I'm preaching tonight, right during this service. I'm not just playing with your mind. In the fourth chapter of John, beginning with verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And He must needs go through Samaria. Now scoffers and atheists have laughed at this and said, well, the reason He did, Jesus was a pragmatic man. The most direct route from where He was at, Judea, to go to Galilee was right through the middle of Samaria. And that's the reason He went. See, that's your problem. I'm going to preach to you there was another reason Jesus went through Samaria. And when it said He must needs go through Samaria, He knew there was going to be a woman at a certain time at a certain well with certain problems, and He wanted to be there when she got there. Now you can sit there and tell me it is just coincidental, happenstantial, or just accidental that you're here tonight. Just here. Huh? Before the foundation of the world, God saw you on this night in August in 1991 in the First Pentecostal Church in Minden, Louisiana. And God has custom designed this service, every song, every part of it, just to reach you and let you know you don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. You don't have to drop dead. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to go to the psycho ward. You don't have to wear a straitjacket. You don't have to overdose on drugs. You don't have to die an alcoholic. You don't have to die. must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, wearied with his journey. That means he was tired. And this may not seem to be much, but it means volumes to me. It proves he was a man. I find it hard to be able to relate to angels. I can find it easy to relate to someone that gets tired, because I get tired too. Jesus possessed a dual nature. He was human, just as human as you are and I am tonight. Scripture after scripture teaches this. Matthew 4 verse 2, afterward he hungered. In Matthew 26, 37, he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. In Luke 2, 52 and verse 56, he increased in wisdom and stature. And of course, Luke 22, 44 tells me he began to be more in earnest. He knew degrees of earnestness. Jesus said of himself in John 8, 40, a man that had told you the truth. Pilate in 19:5, John said, behold, the man. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, 22, said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Then Paul in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Isaiah 500 years before Bethlehem, 53:3, a man of sorrows. 9 verse 6, child born, son given. 7 verse 14, virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Let me preach to you, Jesus was a man. He knew all the emotions and feelings of the flesh. He knows how to relate to the flesh. He knows how you feel when you go through problems of the flesh. Scripture tells me in Galatians 4:4, made of a woman. 2:7 Philippians, made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh. 1 John 4:2, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Romans 8 verse 3, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I'm here to tell you, Jesus wept. John 11 tells us that, friend. I said, Jesus wept. Verse 35, Jesus wept. He got hungry. He got tired. He knew all of this. Hebrews 4:15. Tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Well, then why should I come and talk to him, preacher? He looks like he's in the same shape I am. Oh, but just wait a minute. Before you turn me off, friend, there's more to him than just a man. He's also divine. He's also God. He's also El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah God. He's also the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's also the God that can never fail. For the same one that got hungry, the same one in Mark 6:44 took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000. The same one that got weary said in Revelation 1 and 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The same one that got thirsty on the cross, or that cried at Lazarus' tomb. Jesus wept in John 11, if you please. In verse 44, he looked into that darkened sepulcher, and you know what he did? He said, Lazarus, come forth! And you know what happened? Lazarus came forth! And I know why he said Lazarus. If he hadn't, the whole graveyard would have gone up. Yeah, he was more than a man. He came walking on the water. in Matthew 14, verse 25. Turned the water into wine, John 2 and verse 11. Healed leprosy, Matthew 8 and 2. A centurion's servant from a long distance off, Matthew 8 and 10. A ruler's little daughter, Matthew 9, 18. And a woman that was sick for 12 years in verse 21. He healed blind men in verse 28. 14:36 Matthew, he healed a multitude of people at the same time. He didn't have to line them up for a prayer line. Pow! Healed every one of them. In Matthew 15:28, he cast the devil out of a young lady, a Syrophoenician woman's daughter. I'm just trying to show you, you don't need to push panic button. You don't need to put crepe on the doorknob. You don't need to quit church. You don't need to quit reading your Bible. You don't need to quit worshiping. You quit sitting there, just sitting there. I charge you in the Holy Ghost. You're God's alive. You're God's alive. You're God's got power to heal, power to deliver. But you've got to call on Him. You've got to call on Him. You can't sit there just looking pretty. Number one, you're not that pretty. That's right. Most of us are ugly as a mud fence. Somebody shout amen somewhere. I've done lost my crowd now. We all need to be beautified with salvation. All right, now let me preach. And there he sat. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. That's 12 noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Is this coincidental? He was waiting on it? No. When she got there, Jesus was there waiting on her. You want me to tell you what I feel in my spirit tonight? Jesus has been here waiting on a lot of us a long time. I'm sorry, but I feel to say this, and I say it with all love. He's still waiting on some of you to worship Him. He's still waiting on some of you to pay your tithes. He's still waiting on some of you to quit making excuses. You can't come to church in the middle of the week. He's still waiting on some of you that will come out of your doldrums and self-pity and whining, whimpering spirit and start clapping your hands and worshiping Him. He's still waiting on you to come up here and get anointed with oil and get prayed for. He's been waiting for us. Oh, God, let's talk to Him tonight. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Give me to drink. So she comes and there's all water, and the first thing Jesus said is, give me to drink. Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away into the city to buy meat. Some of you husbands that don't think you need to do any grocery shopping, I'll read that verse. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She was dumbfounded, flabbergasted, stupefied, mesmerized, psyched out of every loving wit. Jews and Samaritans don't even fellowship. They don't get along. They stay on their part of town, and I stay on my part of town. And without me going into historical perspective here, 2 Kings 17, 23 to 41 has a 4 verse 3 in Acts 10, 28. And John 8, 48 in this 9th verse of the 4th chapter of John. Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans because Samaritans were a mixed breed or a mongrel race of people, a product of intermarriages against the stern edict of the law of Moses with native tribes during periodic returns from captivity and Babylon. And so, you know, no self-respecting, uncompromising Jew had anything to do with those low-down, no-good, filthy Samaritans. And when Jesus was sitting there waiting on this no-good woman of Samaria and told her, I'd like you to give me some water, she was flabbergasted. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You know what Jesus is saying?
He said, woman, you don't know who you're talking to. If you knew who you was talking to and what I could do for you, it wouldn't be me asking you, it would be you asking me. You're just ignorant, woman, of what I can do. And I say tonight with all heartfelt sincerity, some of you don't really know who's in this house right now. If you only knew that the problem solver, the heart mender, the leper cleanser, and the way maker is in this house right now, you wouldn't be sitting there. You'd be talking to him, for he's got what you need. He's got what you need. But you got to realize that tonight. Hallelujah. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? All she could see was a dusty traveler, weariness on his face. In essence, she said, you don't have a bucket, and you don't have a rope, and it's our well. Sounds like some of us sometimes. Where are you going to get that water? And then she said something she ought not have said. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Who you think you are, stranger, talking about water and it's our well and you don't have a bucket and a rope? Probably the next instance you're going to say you're greater than Jacob. Woman, you ought not have said that. You don't know what you're saying, woman. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lots of these stories, as a kid, I used to read Alley Oop and his time machine, you know. He'd get thrown back in time. I've often, how I would have loved to walk in about that time. I would have loved to walk in that time and talk to that woman. I would have said, woman, look over here, woman. I'm from the 20th century in Minden, Louisiana, First Pentecostal Church. Let me tell you about him sitting there on that well. Oh, let me tell you about him. He's not only greater than Jacob, he's greater than Abraham and Isaac and Joseph, Moses and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah and Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And he's also greater than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he's greater than Sarah and Dorcas and Lydia. He is greater than Moses. He's greater, if I could do some preaching, than Paul, Peter, James, and John, Matthew and Mark, Andrew and Luke, Philip and Bartholomew, Timothy and Titus, John the Baptist and Stephen, and Simon Zelotes, Judas, the brother James, Mary, the mama of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and Dorcas and Lydia. Can I do some preaching? He's not only that, he's greater than Abraham Lincoln, and George Washington, and Benjamin Franklin, and Thomas Jefferson, and Alexander the Great, Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan. He is greater than the Caesars, the Tsars, the Pharaohs. He's greater than Christopher Columbus. He's greater than Hernando de Soto. He's greater than Magellan. He's greater than Lewis and Clark. He's greater. I said he's greater. If I could preach tonight, I'd like to preach. Oh, I'd like to preach. I'd like to tell you, he's greater than a heart attack. He's greater than cancer. He's greater than leukemia. He's greater than dope addiction. He's greater than a failed marriage. He's greater than depression. He's greater than a church. He's greater than your mama. He's greater than your daddy. He's greater than unemployment. He's greater than a pack of cigarettes. He's greater than your doctor. He's greater than your lawyer. Ah, yes, he is.
not trying. I am not trying to work up a shout. But if you believe Jesus is the greatest of the great, clap your hands tonight. Is Jesus the best thing that's ever happened to you? Can He change things tonight? Oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh. 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 Sitting on that well was someone greater than any of us. Sitting on that well was Abraham's ram, Aaron's rod that budded, Daniel's visions, David's slingshot, Ezekiel's waters to swim in, Elijah's mantle, and Elisha's double portion. Miriam's song, and Moses' burning bush. Isaac's bride, and Gideon's fleece. Samuel's horn of oil, sitting there on that well. Samson's strength, and Solomon's wisdom. Noah's rainbow, sitting right there on that well. Oh, I wish I could preach tonight. Sweet Jesus, let me preach. Because I see you. Just like I can read your heart tonight. You're forlorn. Some of you are so bewildered and bewitched and bothered and confused and perplexed and puzzled. You're wearing a facade, a false face, and I'm not getting on you for that. I do it myself. We all don't always tell everything we feel. But I'd like to reach in your heart tonight. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you dare do it. A little talk with Jesus can make it all right. Don't you dare quit. Don't you dare that. The Holy Ghost is still able. The Holy Ghost is still able. Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's get back here. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, drank it up himself, and showed his cattle? Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Would you agree with me that you thirst again? I mean, I could preach on a lot of things here. There's no need to a mature audience. You're smart. Very smart. And you know what I'm talking about. No matter what it is, the devil says, try it. You'll like it. But you will thirst again. I don't care what it is. It will not satisfy. You'll have an emptiness in your heart. You'll cry on your pillow at night. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Somebody help me say in him. Say in him. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. What Jesus was saying is, I got some water, woman, that'll satisfy your heart. You'll never thirst. Can I do some preaching now? People, they make fun of me sometimes. But you know, I don't care. I like what I feel, and I feel what I like. I quit a long time ago trying to impress people. I like to feel the Holy Ghost. And I would suggest some of you would be better off if you'd feel it tonight. Oh, yes! Let me preach to you now. How would you like to take a well home with you tonight? Your own personal private well. Huh? How would you like to have a well? You could get up in the and drink out of that well. You could drink from it 40,000 feet in the air, flying in an airplane. I've been in the hospital. I told my family farewell as they wheeled me in the operating room and they waved me goodbye, but they didn't think, and I did. I took my well with me. Oh, the doctors, they opened me up and they didn't see a well, but it was there anyhow. Oh, yes! I've had this well, drinking from it. The other day in Toronto, they picked me up for a camp meeting, and I was running late, and he was going 100 miles an hour. My God, I drunk from the well. Yeah. Woo! Lord help us all. But anyhow, would you like to take a well home with you tonight? And it's an artesian, effervescent, ever-flowing, bubbling, gurgling well of living water. It springs up. I'm sorry now, but I'm going to do a little preaching. Some of you sitting there telling me you got a well in your feet and you don't do any springing. Telling me you got a well in your soul and you sit there drier than last year's bird's nest. I'm telling you, you can't tap this well. You can't shut it down. It bubbles, it gurgles, it moves. It's an artesian. My advice to you is to enjoy it. Enjoy the well. Would you clap your hands, everybody? Would you clap your hands? Hallelujah. Springing up! Springing up! Now, you can sit there all you want, but my experience has been when the well gets moving, you just can't sit still. It'll get in your feet, it'll get in your hands, and you just can't sit there. Oh, I know some of you are doing it. It kind of leads me to think your well's dry. But listen to me, Laodicea. You don't need a marriage counselor. You don't need to go see a head shrinker. You don't need to pay $100 an hour to some psychiatrist or psychologist, how well intended they may ever be, to plumb the depths of your back life, find out the thread that's caused you to be such as you are. And they finally say, I got it. I know why you're insecure. Your mama took your rattler away when you was in the cradle. And from that point, you feel like everybody's trying to take something away from you. And you're so insecure and inhibited and withdrawn. You don't have to do that. Let me tell you, you think I'm being funny. Well, I am, but I enjoy it anyhow. But let me tell you what I believe. Whatever your psychological, physiological problems are tonight, there's a God that knows it. He knows just what you need. What you need to do is get a drink out of the well. I said, get a drink out of the well. Hallelujah. Springing up. I go places and it don't spring. I'm there sometimes for weeks and they're still sitting. Telling me you got the well. You got the well. I know it all isn't in a shout, but it's not all in weeping either. Every now and then, you're going to do a little springing. If you wait to every problem solved, and every day is cloudless, and everything's perfect, to worship like you want to and need to, you'll never worship. A man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's always going to be there. So why don't you just make up your mind, devil? I'm in the house of God. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I got the well. And I feel good. Holy Ghost good. And the devil's not going to make me feel bad. I feel good. Holy Ghost good. Tell you something. I don't believe in unconditional eternal security. I want you to know that. I believe I could prove by the Bible it's conditional eternal security. But I hear people say, and I get a little tired of hearing it, I'd like to live for God, but I'm just afraid I can't. I can't stay in the church. I just can't get the victory, keep the victory. And whatever it is, it bothers them, you know. Some bad habit or some person or something. Now, I'd like to live for God, but I just can't stay in the church. You listening to me? If you'll get in the well, and the well will get in you, how can you fall out of a well? Do you get what I'm trying to say? There's nothing but what you and Jesus cannot handle together. There's no problem, there's no sickness, there's nothing but what you and this Holy Ghost can't handle together. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Ah, preacher, you're just trying to get us to shout. Amen. You've pouted long enough. Let's shout a while. Please don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. I know there's problems in life. I know that. Blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Everything else in life has got sorrow with it. Children walk on your toes and they walk on your heart later. I don't care what it is. There's some sorrow with everything else. But the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow. Listen to me, please. I'm trying to reach you tonight. Some of you, all you've got is God. If you turn him down and out, you are going to be depressed. All the joy you have is in Jesus Christ. In the Holy Ghost. If you turn the spigot off or tap the well or don't get involved in worship, you're going to kill yourself. Don't let the devil do that to you. You've got a right to worship. You've got a right to be happy. Hallelujah. Jesus was talking about the Holy Ghost to this woman. Of course, it was not yet given. John 7:39. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. But friends, he's been glorified. The Holy Ghost has been given. And you have no excuse. Receive it tonight. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. That's what 12:3 of Isaiah said. I haven't time to preach Jeremiah 2:13. I haven't time to preach all these verses. I'd like to, like Isaiah 44:3. But let me tell you, there's joy in serving God. If you're tired of putting an empty bucket down in an empty well and drawing nothing up, you need a new well. Put it in the Holy Ghost well. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. I hope you don't take me wrong, because I go places where they want everybody to be so dead serious and frown-faced. And looks so long-faced like a mule. And they don't want anybody smiling too much because that's worldly. My God, get out of my face. I got a right to be happy. I got a right to smile. I got a right to worship God. Don't you dare try to put me down. I'm drinking out of the well that never shall run dry. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8 said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It isn't full of defeat, it's full of glory. Jesus in John 15:11, 16:24, both places said that your joy may be full. Don't come up here with this business. It's the will of God for you to be mournful and melancholy and be so down and out and frown-faced and prune-faced and long-faced and funeral-faced. I know there's a time for crying. Don't misunderstand me. But not 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Well, I saw you last year and you was moaning and groaning and you haven't laughed in so long you think that's the way life is. No, that ain't the way life is. Jesus said he wants your joy to be full. Listen to me. You may not agree with me, but you've been wrong before. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus. Joy is not the absence of sorrow. Quit waiting till there's no sorrow in your life to have responsive joy. You'll wait until hell becomes an ice skating rink. I'll tell you what joy is. It's not the absence of sorrow. It's the presence of the Lord.
joy. You can be losing your health and have joy. If you got Jesus, you got joy. My God, put your bucket in the well tonight. I want every able-bodied person to clap their hands right now. Hallelujah!
A well of living water springing up into everlasting life. I'm not asking God to put a herky-jerky on anybody. I'm not asking God to make you roll on the floor, jump three benches, swing from the chandeliers, or leave footprints on the ceiling, or yell like a wild Apache. I don't think I'm asking him that. I don't know about that. Might not hurt. That's right. Some of you lonesome Lulus, some of you backward Bobs, really what you need is to forget who you are and dive in. I don't know what next week's going to bring you. It may bring you the most trying time of your life. You need a good drink tonight. Maybe I'm all wet, but I never did feel Sunday night was the time to straighten the church out. It wasn't the time to tell everybody how bad they were. Sunday night is the time we drink in the well, get some encouragement. I don't know what next week's bringing, but I know God's able. And if I drink from the well, I can have what I need. Amen. All right, okay, let's get back to the well. Jesus is talking now. Whosoever drinks this water shall thirst again, whosoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a water water springing up in everlasting life. And he was talking about the Holy Ghost, of course. Now notice. Then saith the woman, Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. That I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You're talking about water that's not in this well. Give it to me. Give it to me. Jesus, you got a convert. Give her the water. Close the sale, Jesus. She's wanting the water. What's that you're saying, Jesus? Huh? Son, Holy Ghost isn't given because I'm not glorified. Oh, okay. He said she couldn't have the Holy Spirit until he got glorified. Because he is the Holy Spirit incarnate. Okay. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not need to come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. I'll wait on you. Go get your hubby. Surely you want him to know about this too. Go on, go get him. The woman answered and said, I The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Now, don't get uneasy on me now. Because I want to draw two conclusions from this. Number one, Jesus knows everything about all of us. And the sooner you can come clean in your heart, no matter how many husbands you've had,
how many times you've done whatever you have done with whomever, whatever, whenever, the better off you're going to be. None of us can hide anything from God. He knows wherever and whatever. Would you clap your hand to that tonight? Don't sit there acting like you've never made a mistake. Don't sit there acting like you're perfect. He knows everything about everybody. Neither is, the Scripture said, any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's Hebrews 4:13. Verse 12 is a good verse too. 1 Samuel 16:7 is a good verse. 1 Chronicles 28:9, 1 Chronicles 29 and 18 is good verses too. And I'm going to tell you something else. Revelation 2:23 and Acts 1:24 and Romans 8:27, 28 are good verses too. And John 21:17 is a good verse too. Colossians 2 verse 3 is a good verse too. I'm here to tell you, friend, don't try to hide anything. You hear me, young man? Hear me, young lady? Don't sit there and act like just because your mama, your daddy, or your friends don't know that someone don't. God knows. He knows everything I've ever done. He knows everything you've ever done. And that's the way I want it. Isn't that the way you want it? Now let me preach conclusion number two. In spite of this woman being messed up in marriage five times and living with a man at the time she was talking to Jesus. You hear me? I said it the other night and I'm going to say it again. Don't freeze up on me. I'll preach some more on it. In spite of her matrimonial mess, Jesus still offered her the water. I don't care what you've been. He wants you to have the water. For God's sake, don't just sit there. Don't just sit there because you've been a failure. Don't sit there because you've been a failure. Don't worry about it. Everybody's failed. Everybody's had trouble. Everybody's done things they shouldn't. But Jesus wants you to have the water. Amen. 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 You're not vehement enough. You're coasting on me. Amen. 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 Some of you are still coasting on me. Some of you are still coasting on me. Amen! Amen! I don't care what you've been. Jesus wants you to have the water. I don't care what you've been. He wants you to have the water. My friends, let judgment begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. Come as you are. Whatever you have done can be put under the blood. And your sins can go before you to judgment. 1 Timothy 5:24. And you don't have to let them follow you. I know it's distasteful. No one advocates divorce. No one here wants it. But it's a fact of our 20th century that people coming in our churches, lives are messed up. Some of us cannot afford to look down our long hook-billed noses of studied Pharisaical arrogance at them. Just because they messed up and messed up and messed up and messed up and messed up. If it hadn't have been for the mercy of God, you'd have been right in there with them. I'm saying if Jesus said they could have the water, bless God, they could have the water! Sure, I'm talking about sinners. Sure, I'm talking about sinners. Sure, I'm talking about sinners. Sure I am. After you're in the church, judgment begins. It's a different ball game. You can't just do as the Muslims say, I divorce thee 3 times, and that's the way it is because they burnt the bacon. Don't work that way anymore. You're tightening up on me. Someone shout amen. Amen. But I'm trying to show you, no matter who the sinner might be and whatever trouble they might have gotten into and messed their lives up first class, Jesus said they could have the water. Praise the Lord! That woman was flabbergasted. Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. She changed the subject on Jesus. Isn't that just like a woman? Right in the middle of the heat of this, she changed the subject. And isn't that just like a man, too? In fact, isn't that just like us human beings? I try to learn from these methods in Scripture. I'm not the best. But I noticed Jesus didn't harangue her and harass her. And He didn't thump her on the head with it constantly. He made His point. I know what you've been, woman. But He didn't just labor the point. Sometimes we preachers, and I'm only talking to us, we get on it and get on it and ride it and ride it until we make people feel so worthless they don't even want to come around. Now understand me tonight. Don't you quieten up on me. Let me tell you, there's a God that knows everything about everything. I can't hide anything, neither can you hide anything. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. He said, in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Oh, Lord. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. Now is. Now is. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Sometimes we think it's a song leader or the preacher trying to get us to worship. Uh-uh. The Father is in this building tonight and He's looking for worship. He's looking for worship. He's looking for worship. He's looking for worship. And it's not right if we come here and don't worship. He's given you the Holy Ghost. He's been the best friend you've ever had. It's not right for you to sit there and drink out of the well and never praise Him for it. It's not right to be healed and never praise Him for it. The Father is looking for worship. Let's say Lord God Almighty El Shaddai walks in here and He looks down the aisle, the pew, into your heart, and your mind is on after church or tomorrow. God says, I can't get any worship here. Looks over at some young lady and she's hoping some boy will look at her. Look over to some young boy and he's hoping some girl will look at him. And over there sits timid Tom hoping nobody will look at him. And the Father says, can't get any worship here. And he goes over here and he looks in your mind. You're worried about your business. Oh, I didn't check the answer machine before I came to church. Oh, hope he hurries up and gets out through preaching so I can go home. Oh, Father said, I can't get any worship here. And this goes on and on and on. But maybe He just might look into somebody's heart that's got a life full of trouble and sickness,
sorrow, but they're in their heart saying, Jesus, I love you anyhow. I'm going to worship you through the middle of all of my trials. I want you to know, Jesus, I may not feel your presence, but I want you to know I love you. And the Father says, hey, 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 I'm getting some worship right here. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. I need some help. I need some help. Everybody, as loud as you can, say, God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 Reckon you could sing just a little talk of Jesus makes it all right. You need your chorale up here. Please, those that are in this chorale, come on tonight. I'm gonna close. I hope that I've been able to touch your heart with the Word of God. God is a spirit. He's not this building. He's not your job. He's not your money. God's the Spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him. I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I hope you don't think I'm trying to be a smart Ellie. But I know God wants to bless this church. I know God wants to bless so many of you that are going through so much trouble. I can feel it and I can see it. But I can't, nor can your pastor, nor can your friends go but so far. There's a point in time you're going to have to take over. You must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if you don't want to do that, you're not going to get anywhere. Oh, I wish to God I could reach you tonight. Don't worship by feeling, worship by faith. Worship because He's God. And He's going to be God when you get up in the morning. He's going to be God when you got to go to work. Hallelujah. The woman saith unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. That may seem insignificant, but whatever student I may have been, I've recognized some things. The Jews many times tried to pressure Jesus in saying who He was. He would speak in riddles or dark, mysterious sayings. But here was a woman married 5 times, living with a man by the world's standards, wouldn't amount to anything. Yet He opened up and revealed and told her who He was. I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but we're nobody. But yet He's told us who He is. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? I noticed they'd gone grocery shopping. On the way back, they were saying, do you see what I see? Jesus is talking with that. He'll ruin His reputation. People talk about Him. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? You know why they kept their mouth shut? Because Jesus had already manifested. He'll talk to whoever He wants to talk to. I don't know about you, but I like that. When other people don't want you, Jesus still loves you. When you made a mistake and you messed up real bad, Jesus still loves you. Jesus still wants to talk to you. When other people turn you down, Jesus still loves you.
The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I didn't intend to go this far. But the Holy Spirit has witnessed in my spirit. I got about 3 more verses. I don't know why. And yet I think I do know why. But I'm not going to say why. Here it comes. Notice, then the men went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples saith unto him, Master, eat. Jesus said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said his disciples, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Catch that, church. Finish his work. The work in Minden is not finished. It will never be till Jesus comes. It's not finished. Thank God for the hundreds that you run, but we need to run thousands. Now here, for whatever reason, in the Holy Ghost, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. I'm only saying as a visiting preacher, and that's all. The day of revival for the Minden, Louisiana First Pentecostal Church is not over. Thank God for the glory days of the past, but there's still glory days in the future. We cannot afford the luxury of laxity and the luxury of waiting and just waiting and waiting and waiting. It's got to be revival till Jesus comes. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered unto their labors. Here's what I feel to say in the Holy Ghost. Many has gone on from this church to meet their eternal reward. By the grace of God, we hope to see them someday. All right? It is not the will of God for us to sit down on our past accomplishments and say that it's all that we've done and there can be no more done. We cannot afford to say we can wait now. We cannot wait. Harvest time is upon us. Other men have labored and ye are entered into their labors. Those that's gone on before, worked hard, prayed hard, as the brother, I believe, Puckett said during the She's for Christ presentation, we are enjoying a lot of their sacrifices. It is not right if we don't perpetuate revival. It is not right if we don't keep preaching the Holy Ghost, Jesus' name, baptism, and the oneness of God. I say to you that they that have gone on have labored and sacrificed that this church could be here today. Let's don't let them down. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's keep a Holy Ghost revival moving here. Would you clap your hands for that today? Me, if you will, please, on this Sunday night. Oh, I preached too long. I'm sorry for the length, but I'm not sorry for the word. But I am still believing. Just a little talk with Jesus can make it all right. Now they're going to sing, and I've preached all I can preach. If you want to come and pray, I don't care what the situation is. Saints of God, saints of God. When someone comes to this altar tonight, we're not going to think they've done something bad, are we?
No.
We're going to think in our heart they've got a right to go pray.
Yes.
All right? So don't let that stop you. If you need help tonight, you come on out of that pew, get on down here. There's people that will gather around and pray with you. There's people that will encourage you. I guarantee you it'll help you next week. A little talk with Jesus can make it all right. Let's sing it, let's sing it, let's sing it.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then the light from heaven filled my soul. He made my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just to talk with Jesus made me whole.
Oh,
in heaven we'll talk with Jesus.
Let us
tell Him all about our trouble. Hear our pain and cry.
And
to rise by. Now when you feel the power of turning. Yeah.